Well, Merry Christmas to all of you. It's going to be Christmas soon, right? You've been good boys and girls? Yeah, that didn't sound too enthusiastic. Well, make sure to tell Santa not to bring you nothing. Hey, I just want to highlight our Christmas service again. You know, the reason we're joining New Hope, you may not know this, but Jeremy helps lead our worship bands here, but he also goes every week, has for about 6 years, to New Hope every Sunday, and he does their music over there. And then not only he's going to be there this time, but Celeste is going to be there. And then Josh, who is standing right over here tonight playing and singing, his father is the pastor there. So many of you have been in the Patterson home experiencing their extraordinary hospitality with the student group. So we just thought, you know what? Want a Christmas Eve service? Go join them. We'll have a wonderful time. So that's where we're all going to be. And last week we handed out little cards with directions, but I don't know if we have them. So you can go to the website and find them if you'd like. Before I get started tonight, I wanted to let you know something we're going to be doing here. You're going to get from your house church leaders. And that way, if you want to shoot anybody about it, you could shoot me and not them. So they don't get all, you know, never mind. Actually, this was meant to be really encouraging, but it kind of went out in such a way that I thought maybe I should sort of set the record straight. You know, one of the things that I know every single one of you are striving to be is a light for Christ. I mean, that's why Jesus left us here. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that we are the light of the world, to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good deeds and glorify our Father who's in heaven. And we went over the scripture last week and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are God's representatives. We are Christ's ambassadors to the world, to our neighbor, to our family, to relatives, to whoever we meet. We represent Jesus Christ, and we have this extraordinary message to share with people, really contained in the words of that special that was sung for us this evening. And so what I'd like to do, this was my idea, it wasn't theirs, is I'd like to try to gather, as good as your memories are, in 2011, how many of you had an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone? Maybe you got to share your testimony, or you shared the gospel with them, you were on a missions trip, or you were doing one of our outreach projects. So we're going to be sending out an anonymous survey. I think it's surveymonkey.com, I think. And the goal here is not to make anybody feel bad or anybody compare or anybody feel guilty. We obviously have moms here that have kids that have their nose in the home that can't be out on a regular basis sharing Christ with others. The goal is simply to find out what opportunities the Lord has given to us and encourage us all, because I got a feeling it's been quite a few times. So you're going to get this little survey that'll be emailed to you through your house church email list, okay? And so what I'd like you to do is over the next couple days be thinking, Lord, how many times did I get to share this last year? Because I know you've been praying for opportunities, and many of you have been given opportunities. And so that's the first. The first question, I think, on the survey is, if you had an opportunity to share the gospel or share your testimony, and it could have been as part of a mission trip. So some of you I know were in Berlin. You went out, you know, every day, and you got to speak to an average 5 people a day, and you got to share Christ. Those count. Or you were out on a Religion is a Lie outreach, or you were doing I Will Listen, or praying on the porch, or you were going out just sharing with people on the street, or some crosswalking. I'd like to see if we could figure out every single individual that God shared with. The second one is maybe you just got to give a person a piece of literature. Maybe it was a tract. So we'd like to try to tally that up. Some of you were able to give a book or a message or some kind of a CD that told a person about Christ. Anyway, you'll see the little survey. So when it comes, would you please, for me, do your very best to fill it out. Again, it's anonymous. We're not asking for any names. We're just trying to see what the Lord did last year. And then this next year, we'll try to keep on top of it, like every month. And at the end of the year, see this incredible story of what God has been doing over the year. Also, I know the other question. If you had the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, maybe it was a friend or a brother or a sister or your mom and dad. I know that Ryan, he'll be excited to share this story, but recently went home, Pastor Ryan, with his family, had the opportunity to share with his father and his brother for the first time. He's been praying for them for years, and then his mother, and had the opportunity to lead her to Christ. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Very cool. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into tonight's message. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for your incredible goodness to us. We are the most blessed people in the world. There is no one, Lord, more blessed, more touched, more fortunate than us Christians. In fact, Lord, that's our entire theme at Faith Walkers, as we go session after session after session, delving in depth into just the significant goodness and blessing of God to each one of our lives. Father, you've been so, so good to us. And I just ask you tonight, Lord, that you touch us with a few thoughts that we look at in Scripture tonight. Drive home tonight the character of God and how extraordinarily fortunate we are, Lord, to have you in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned a few weeks ago, and you, please don't clap for this. This is just part of my story tonight. That it was in 16 days, 25 years ago, that my wife and I and my three little children, Micah is actually a native Minnesotan. The rest are born in south of here. Right. And that little podunk state beneath us, where I was born to. And I've just been reflecting in my prayer time, and in my time just sitting in my office or driving in my car, I've just been reflecting over the last 25 years being in Minnesota. This is the longest exit I've ever been in any one place in my life. All the rest of the years were spent a year here, a year there. My parents moved around. I think I went to 9 different schools growing up. And then once I got out of high school, I took off hitchhiking. And I didn't stay very long in any one place. But Minnesota has been a remarkable journey. And tonight's message is entitled Reflections on the Faithfulness of God. Some of you I know are not even 25. In fact, many of you in this auditorium tonight are not even 25. And I hope that tonight you will understand when we're done this evening that as you look forward to the rest of your life that's ahead of you, that you'll recognize that you can count on the faithfulness of God, that God will not ever let you down. He will not disappoint you. He will not betray you. He will not dash your hopes. God is in the business of keeping his word. And in Psalm 89, I just thought I'd start by reading this psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Sometimes you wonder, I'll pause there for a moment, why us Christians sing? Why do we sing? Why is music a big deal? Because we're so happy. Because we're so blessed. Because God has been so merciful to us. We have the greatest reason in the world to sing and sing and sing. And in fact, one of the things we'll be doing for all eternity is singing. There'll be lots of other things there we'll be doing, but I'm sure there will be some kind of daily time, if we even tell time by days, since the Bible says there is no night in heaven. I'm not sure how the Lord's going to do all that. We won't need to sleep. We will get to eat. We'll have a limitless energy. So I don't know. Maybe the first 10 years we'll sing. And you'll enjoy every minute of it. It'll be better than any concert you ever went to. But the Bible says we'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love lasts forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I made a solemn agreement with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. All heaven will praise your miracles, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than those who surround his throne. O Lord God Almighty, where is there anyone as mighty as you, Lord? Faithfulness is your very character. Faithfulness. God cannot not be faithful. It's kind of like the sun not being bright. Now, the clouds might get in the way, that isn't the sun's fault. The Bible goes on, in fact, in Psalm 89, to use nature as an example of the covenant and the character of God. And the Bible says that as the moon in the sky is faithful, so I will not remove my covenant love from David. We have this window in our house. It's kind of, I call it the portal window. It's like a ship window. It's kind of an octagon window. It's kind of weird, to be honest. But sometimes I get up in the middle of the night. Last night happened to be one of those nights. I don't know. I wasn't feeling very good. And so it's about midnight, and I got up, sneaking through the house. And I walked down the stairs, and right in that window, the moon is just shining in like a spotlight. And I was just reminded of this passage. That God, the moon is a reminder, just a symbolic reminder in the heavens that you will be faithful. That you will keep your word. That you will never let your people down. And we may go through times where it seems like God is not being faithful. And it absolutely tests our faith and our resolve. But be assured of this, no matter how many doubts you have, no matter how much struggle you have wondering if God's going to keep his word, God cannot stop being God. Just like the sun cannot stop being the sun. Listen very carefully to this. No matter what you've heard about climate change, climate baloney, climate malarkey, the sun will not stop until God stops it. And there will come a time that will happen. Until that time, he has it there. He hangs it there. He keeps the universe together. And that is a symbol to you that as the sun is blazing in its intensity, the sun does what God put it there to do. God cannot lie. God cannot not be faithful. It's not in his character. He's incapable of being unfaithful. Psalm 107 has been a tremendous encouragement to me. And it says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. It isn't just his love, it's faithful love. You know, it's ironic if you are familiar with much music, besides Christian music. So much music. I guess I would venture a guess that 80 to 90% of all the music is about love. Somebody declaring their love. Right. I mean, how many times? You know, the other night, we had a fun Christmas. The darlings, we've not had a chance to be together for Christmas for a long time like we were recently. On December 3rd, we thought we'd have Thanksgiving and Christmas together because all my kids, you know, they have in-laws and other things to do. And so we got together at Celeste's house, and Celeste and John surprised us, and John sat us all down, and he goes, well, we want to show you something. And he has this video. Now, I hate video of me. I don't hate video. I just don't like it of me. I have 3 good pictures in my whole life. I have them at home, 3. I do not like pictures. Never owned a camera. And videos and cell phones that take that stuff bug me. So John, he was, you know, he's the son-in-law, always walking around with a secret video camera. And all of a sudden, we're all sitting there, And it flashes back 10 years ago on the night that I gave Celeste a card, John a card. They opened up the same time and all it said was yes. In other words, you have my permission. Get on with it. Get married if you're going to. Let's do this. And all of a sudden, Micah, he's got the video camera. He's sneaking around. And Jesse's behind the counter and she pushes on. Remember, not Enrique Iglesias. I will be your hero, baby. Remember that song? Okay. So all of a sudden, Jeremy, he's got on a stock. I wished I had it here right now. Because actually, it's really good. I was stunned. And so we're all sitting around. Jeremy's got his Enrique Iglesias stocking cap on. His little goatee. He really looks like him. He's got his guitar. Next thing you know, we're all singing. We're singing the song. And Celeste and John are just like almost necking on the couch. And Gretchen is staring into Jeremy's eyes, and my wife is hiding in the kitchen, right? Okay, right, because we're old people. You think Enrique Iglesias means that crap? I will be a hero, baby. Like Mark Anthony means it, right? Like Jennifer Lopez means it. All these people who sing this stuff, they declare their love publicly. They're liars. Their love isn't faithful. As soon as someone better comes along, they're gone. They're gone. God's love is faithful. It cannot be unfaithful. He does what he says he's going to do. He's going to stand by you. He's going to come through for you. He's going to provide for you. He will not abandon you. He's for you, like we were singing tonight. Nothing can keep the faithful love of God from you. Now, you can spend your life in disbelief. Therefore, you will never really fully enjoy the faithful love of God. But that doesn't stop God. You're not bigger than God. Your unbelief is not bigger than God. Your doubts cannot stop God. That's like you dumping ice cubes on the sun. You're not going to stop the intensity of the sun. This stuff, I read this stuff. Sorry if I go off here on climate for a moment. There is so much propaganda and lies. This is so much BS what they're telling our little kids in school. The data is a joke. Even today, more emails came out that the Department of Energy of the United States asked them to withhold the raw data that proves the opposite of what they've been telling you. You think our little airplanes down here and man's little cans of hairspray is going to stop what God made? We are so pompous. We think so highly of ourselves. God laughs. We're like grasshoppers. The Bible says that in Isaiah. We're like grasshoppers. We're like little bugs. Not in God's value of us. That's not what I mean. He didn't look down and think, bugs, bugs. You're all. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible means, okay? It means in the greater scheme of things. We're like little specks. Now, I'm not saying that we should be irresponsible with what God has given us, that we shouldn't be good stewards of all that God has given to us. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you're not going to drop ice cubes on the sun and stop it. Your doubts, they're like ice cubes. You think, well, you know, I just have a cold heart towards God. So you have a cold heart towards God. It is not going to stop God from being God. And God is going to be faithful. Listen to this for just a moment. This is really amazing. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety and to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and all of his wonderful deeds, for he satisfies the hungry and fills the thirsty and hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, miserable prisoners in chains. They rebelled against the words of the Lord, scorning the counsel of the Most High. There are a lot of Christians like this, both figuratively and literally. There are many Christians who have rebelled against God. And in their own spirit, they're in darkness and deepest gloom. They're miserable prisoners in chains of their own making. They rebelled against what God wanted them to do. They scorned the counsel of God and the word of God. That's why he broke them with hard labor. They fell and no one helped them rise again. Lord help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress and led them from darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains, let them praise the Lord for his great love and his faithfulness to them. For he broke down the prison gates and cut the bars of iron. You see there, when we cry to God, when we really cry out to God, he always comes through. Now, sometimes it takes longer than we would like, but we keep crying out and we keep crying out, God will be faithful. And I have seen him, and I'm going to go over some of these things tonight with you. I have seen him be so faithful over these last 25 years, over the last 36 years. that I've been following Christ. I've seen him come through. Sometimes he's come through very quickly. Other times he's come through a little more slowly. And other times it seemed like he was never going to come through. But I remembered who he was. And I reflected on when he came through before. I reflected on his promises. I reflected on his deeds to me in the past. And I held on and I held on and I held on. And God came through. Some were fools in their rebellion. They suffered for their sins. Their appetite was gone and death was near. Lord help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He spoke and they were healed, snatched from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great faithful love. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Now we see two sections of people here, you see, who were fools, who sinned, who rebelled. And both times, all that was required to see and experience God come through was humility. The humility, not perfection. God is not looking for perfection, but for a broken heart that says, Lord, I need your help. They couldn't make up for what they'd done. And then we get to this one, and this was the text that God used in my life when I moved here to Minneapolis. Someone off in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deep sea. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and sank again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was the stillness as he brought them safely to the harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great faithful love. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. He changes rivers to deserts, springs of water to dry land. He turns fruitful land to salty wastelands. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into flowing springs. He brings the hungry to settle there and build their cities. They sow fields, plant their vineyards, and they harvest bumper crops. How he blesses them. They raise large families there and their herds of cattle increase. But he rescues the poor from distress. Those who are wise, listen to this. Those who are wise will take all this to heart, and they will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. And I just thought for a moment I would revisit a little history as to how you actually got here in this auditorium. 25 years ago, my wife and I, and Jeremy and Celeste and Jessica, we were living in this little trailer. All 540 square feet, the five of us. And we had been praying for years that God would use us to reach others for Jesus Christ. That God would allow us the opportunity to start and plant churches. That God would use us as a missionary family. Of course, my little children were not aware of those prayers at the time. but Kathy and I were. And we'd been seeking the Lord. And we had this opportunity to move to Minneapolis. My dear friend and partner, Brent Knox, had moved up about 300 days before this. He and I had been in Ames together for 9 years. Now, Ames is a town of 22,000 without the college students, about 42,000 with the college students. In the Twin Cities, is almost 4 million. So that's considerably bigger. And I only had a few weeks when I found out that we were going to be able to move here to come up and try to find housing. And I remember sitting down with Kathy. We had three little children, and it was going to be close to Christmas. And I said, Kathy, you know, I'm not going to be able to take you up to look, so why don't you just tell me, I'll make a list here of what it is you want and what you don't want. Because I don't want to make a mistake, but you're going to have to trust me. We're going to have to trust God to provide for us. So on this end, Brent, he was looking through the newspaper and he was circling. And I told him, Brent, you know, I don't want to pay more than $500, $525 a month rent. And he kind of chuckled. And he said, well, I got a bunch circled here, Mark. They started about $750 to $800. I said, well, I'm praying for $500 to $525. So I drove up the first weekend and he took me to see all these places in Minneapolis, the city. And they were run down. They were not good. I mean, I could have lived there, but we were coming from a trailer that was already surrounded by a lot of boarded up other trailers. Well, this wasn't on the list. You know, the kind of houses at the time that Brent could find. So I went home the first weekend empty-handed. I went back to my job for that week, went back the next weekend, the same routine. Finally, the last weekend that I have to come up here, I don't have any other chances to come. And I come up, and while I'm here, I went out to dinner with a few of the Christians that were here that I knew. That night, I was at Brent's house. I woke up at midnight with a high fever, vomiting, and diarrhea all at the same time. It was a most unpleasant experience. He said, Mark, I remember we were talking about this the other day. He and I said, I remember hearing you down there. And when I heard you vomiting, I thought, I'm not going down there. Thank you, Brent. And so I'm down there in the stranger's house. And it's never fun to do this at somebody else's house. And ended up getting food poisoning really bad. The next day, I wake up, I've been shivering all night, I have my clothes on, my coat on, the blankets on, and I just cannot get warm. But I have this appointment, I only have one chance to go see this one house that we found, and he had circled, and it was in Bloomington. So we drive down, and I'm kind of shivering on the other side of the seat, and we pull into this driveway. And I'm like, I'm stunned. I said, can I see that ad a minute? He had it circled. It was $500 to $525 a month. It was on an acre of land. It had 70 trees on it. I got out of the car. First thing I said to Brent, I said, this is it. This is the one right here. I went to the windows. I started peeking in all the windows. No one was there. Just in case you were wondering. The landlady lives in California. And the downstairs was all this knotty pine, and it had two fireplaces, and my wife had wanted an attached garage and a finished basement and two bathrooms. They had all these things. And I'm like, $500 to $525. This is amazing. So I get in the car, and I said, well, this is it. Let's not go look anywhere. He said, what do you mean this is it? We can't even talk to anybody. He said, yeah, I'm just going to have to trust that this is the one. I'm going to go home. And so I went home. I called the lady, and she said, well, I appreciate your interest in the house, but I need you to write sort of an essay as to why you should get the house. So my wife and I sat down, and we wrote an essay about the house and what we were planning to do when we came to the city. And then, of course, it was snail mail. So we sent it, and we had to go to Kansas for Christmas. I didn't hear anything back, and as soon as we got back from Christmas, I had to loan the U-Haul and move. That's kind of the timing of this whole deal. We get back, and there's a letter from the landlady telling us, you get the house. So here we move in to, up to that time, the nicest house I'd ever lived in my house in my life, this beautiful little brick house on an acre of land where we lived for 13 years. That's now right across the street from the new Bloomington facility. So the first day of 1987 begins, and I'm throwing myself into the task. I'm just beginning to pastor. I'm learning the ropes. I'm the resident musician, the worship leader. I'm starting the college group. I started a renew group for people who came from dysfunctional, broken past. I started the singles group. I start reaching out. I'm doing the scripture reading, singing the special, and leading the worship, and then often teaching as well. And our lives are full. And there's lots of new challenges to this little group of Christians. We began to realize, Brent and I, that we need to start fresh. There was a few Christians here from another group that joined us, and there was a few that we had brought up during that previous year. So there was about 80 individuals. And trials began to happen. Things began to happen. One of the first big trials that happened was the McKnight Foundation bought Regina Girls School, where we were meeting, for $300 a month. And it was wonderful. This little auditorium just fit us. We had everything we needed. And they bought it and said, we want you out of here. We're putting Planned Parenthood in, so we want you guys gone. Well, we had 2 weeks' notice. And we've got this little congregation. And I remember going home after I heard the news and going to my prayer closet, which at the time was at Fort Snelling, and I just walk and pray, and Lord, you've got to come through. We're your people just as much as the children of Israel. We're a lot smaller, but we matter just as much to you. And we've just been kicked out of our home, and we need a place to meet. And I'm taking it upon myself. I was tasked. Brent said, Mark, you want to handle this? I said, I'll handle it with the responsibility to look for a place. Well, we don't have any money. The church in Ames was willing to pay my salary of $16,000, $17,000 that first year. And we certainly didn't have money to go get a facility. So the first place I called, I decided to call the Bloomington Public Schools. Now, we'd been in Ames for 9 years, and they never, ever would let us use the public schools. It was a very anti-church environment, to be honest, as far as the schools and using the auditoriums. So I called the schools. I got the right name, the right person to call. Her name was Maria, and she was an older lady, kind of grandmotherly towards me. She said, well, Mark, why don't you come in? I'd like to talk with you. So I went in, and she said, Mark, you're never going to believe this, because I told her what I was kind of looking for. And she said, 1 hour before you called, Jimmy Stewart, the school superintendent, that's really his name, Jimmy Stewart, he came out to my desk and he looked at me and said, Maria, he said, we need to increase our revenue stream at our schools, so I want you to rent out our auditoriums to any churches that call. 1 hour before I came in. They'd never done this before. So she said, Mark, I have the school for you. Wait till you see this. I said, I can't wait. Let's go. So we get in the car, and we drive down to 106th Street, 35W, to Oak Grove Intermediate School. And we pull around. First, this is a gorgeous building. And we pull around to this gorgeous parking lot that holds like 600 cars. In other words, God was imprinting upon me, Mark, we're going to grow. I'm going to do something special. She walks me into these gorgeous marble floors. We go into the auditorium, and it's this beautiful amphitheater with this round stage, and the chairs about level the stage, and then they move up slowly like in a baseball diamond, and then the back sections all close with a curtain, which means it won't feel like we get swallowed up. I've never seen another auditorium like it in the cities. I've been in a lot of our schools in this city. And I knew this is the place. Well, Brent and Mark, look, let's get a video camera. We'll show it to our leaders. We'll see what they all think. And so they all really liked it. Problem was they wanted $3,000 a month instead of $300 a month. So we got our hands and our knees and our face before God. We said, God, we need you to come through. We need you to provide. What do you want us to do? We all felt collectively together that God wanted us to take this step of faith. So we did. I went to the city council meeting because you had to get a permit from the city to even use the school. And I went and met with the mayor. They gave us their approval. We signed the contract. And for the next 20 years, Evergreen filled that auditorium over and over and over and over again, and planted 5 churches, 6 including the one in Berlin. And this church was birthed out of that. The Rock was started out of that. I'll never forget when we went to look for an auditorium for The Rock. And we were looking for something in Uptown because at that time it was near the campus, sort of like this is not, actually this is only 2 minutes farther from the campus than we were at Jefferson or at Blake School. So we found Blake School, and it had, again, just this cool ambiance, this giant fireplace when you walked in. It had this really cool auditorium, but it was the most expensive private school in the city. It's cost $12,000 a year 12 years ago to go there. That doesn't include room and board. There is no board. You just pay that much to go there. The second thing that was very unique about it, and I say this with the greatest respect, I don't mean anything derogatory by this, this is just the story, is that the board that oversaw the school and who used the building was primarily Jewish men. Now, generally speaking, they're not going to be very supportive of people who preach that Jesus is the Messiah using their auditorium. Secondly, they never rented it to anybody. So we were talking to the principal at the time, who was a lady, and she said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm very sympathetic to what you want to do. We shared our vision with her that we wanted to reach out to young people in the city, that young people needed a place to go, that young people were disillusioned by church, and there were many, many young people struggling in the city with alcohol addiction, drug addiction, broken families, and she was very sympathetic to that. So she said, I'll approach them. I'll talk to them. So we prayed. We're praying and we're praying. In the meantime, we're raising funds. We raised $385,000 to start The Rock. And this woman called us and said, I'm stunned. She also happened to be a Christian. She said, they have approved you guys using this facility. She said, I can't explain it. It's never happened. About 2 weeks later, one of the guys who helped me start this and myself were going to take her to lunch and thank her. And when we called, the person who answered, when we asked for her, said, I'm very sorry. She's not available any longer. And we said, wow, what happened? We really want to thank her. She said, well, she died. She had cancer. It came back and just boom, she's gone. God took her home. But before he took her home, he had her in the exact spot so that we might procure the use of that facility. And then God brought us here. God brought us here and allows us, these guys allow us to meet here. I mean, you know, how many of you drive around and look at lights around Christmas time? Anybody do that? You know one of the things I like about Friday night? My stage. Let me say our stage. I want you to know the hides were my idea, right here. These are real hides. The animals were going to die anyway, so don't feel bad, okay? Some of you ate them, by the way. And the candles, I mean, I don't need to go around looking at Christmas lights because we have it here every single week. And Andy and Chad, well, actually, I helped them found the Urban Refuge. So they were very gracious to let us meet here on Friday nights. And then, to be honest, one of the really encouraging things a lot of you don't know about this, some of you do, but this last year, a really, really wonderful thing happened. Our North House, some of you know we have house churches, right? And so that was another wonderful way in which the Lord led us and has really been a huge blessing to this church and to our lives and seeing people grow and be discipled and the community that's developed has been so encouraging. Well, one of the things we wanted to do is birth more house churches. We wanted to reach out to more people in the city with the good news of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. Well, about a year ago, I was at I'm on the board of Great Commission Churches, and so I was meeting with some of our guys who are reaching out in Asia, in some Asian countries, Hong Kong, China, Taiwan, different places throughout Asia. And as I was sitting in this meeting, this is no lie, It's no lie. I just felt absolute direction from the Lord. Mark, you need to go back to Minneapolis and get something started to reach out to Chinese students. Almost 95% of Chinese students come to the United States and are never once invited to the home of an American. I started to find a lot of things out from my friends who have been traveling there. So I came back, and I just talked to Carl and Ryan, got on the phone, talked to them about it. And within 2 days, two guys, Mark Holthy and Jim Schofield, wrote me an email, not knowing anything about this, saying, Mark, we just feel the Lord really putting on our heart to reach out to Chinese students. In the meantime, I had approached Tim and John and asked them if their house church would begin an interest in helping Chinese students, taking them grocery shopping, getting them cell phones set up and running errands for them and kind of welcoming them, being kind of a welcome wagon. And they jumped on it. Well, last fall, in August actually officially, the guys kicked off East House. And that first week, there was 11 Americans and 11 Chinese in attendance. God is so faithful. God is working, working, working. When you're asleep, God is working. When you're tired, God is working. God is faithful. And I want to ask you to do something, all right, this weekend. We're going to close. I would like you to take some time this weekend. It'll only take an hour. It might only take 30 minutes. Get out a piece of paper or a notebook and a pencil. And I'd like you to look back on your history, yours, your personal history. And just in short little sentences, write down the faithfulness of God that you see in your life. Some of you don't realize, but many of you do, how significant it is that God, not accidentally, but deliberately, brought you to this church. And it saved your life. And He's changing your life. That was the faithful love of God. Some of you have recently gotten out of debt. Some of you have recently gotten a job. There's all kinds of ways, if you look back carefully, you see, wow, God watched over me there, and then He kept me alive over there, and then, wow, my life could have been so different if that stupid foolishness that I was involved in had actually ended up like my other friends. My life would be ruined. Look how God protected me. And I think one of the greatest Christmas gifts you could give to yourself this Christmas, and that you could give to God, is the thanks that will well up in your heart as you reflect back on the faithfulness of God in your personal story. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You tonight. You're so good. You're so faithful. You're working, Lord, all over the world. You're working in our lives. You're working in our family's life. It is no accident at all that we're here tonight. There aren't accidents with You, Lord. There aren't any. I want to thank You, Lord, tonight that my doubts, my struggles, my fears, at times my lack of belief, does not stop the character of God from operating. It doesn't slow you down. It doesn't hamstring you. It doesn't discourage you. It doesn't throw you off. You are true to your nature. Faithfulness is your very character. Remind us as we celebrate Christmas that Christmas is the fulfillment of Your faithfulness to a promise that You made to redeem the world. In Jesus' name, amen.